Hello everyone and welcome back to the show. Today we're talking about low load, high rep training in elite weightlifters. So this was a study that was published in December 2023, just a few months ago. They took 18 elite Korean weightlifters and sorted them into three different groups over 8 weeks. A light group that trained with 30 to 60% 1RM, a heavy group that trained with 60 to 90% 1RM and much less volume, and then a blended group that did a combination of the two protocols. So why was this study important? So for context, previous studies had demonstrated the efficacy of low load, high volume resistance training, but these studies were done on less trained subjects, not elite athletes. So the thought was that there was just too much neuromuscular learning going on, learning the skill of maxing out. And so this was one of the first studies. It was a preliminary study on testing low load, high volume training in resistance with elite resistance trained athletes. So these were, like I said, elite Korean weightlifters. They were 20 years old with training ages of 10 years on average. And they had been training for 3 to 4 hours a week over that period. So they were national and international level weightlifters. And what they found was really interesting. They found basically that there were no significant differences between the two protocols when looking at back squat 1RM, when looking at skeletal muscle mass, when looking at isometric trunk strength, so pulling into a dynamometer with 30 degrees of hip flexion and growth hormone. So all four of those, most notably back squat 1RM and skeletal muscle mass. You would think that especially with back squat 1RM, the group that was training with 60 to 90% 1RM would see greater increases in back squat 1RM. But that wasn't the case. The group that trained with 30 to 60% 1RM had significant and similar increases in back squat 1RM. So, and these were elite athletes. So that's a really, really interesting finding. Differences between the two groups. The main difference was that creatine kinase and lactate dehydrogenase, which are both markers of muscle damage, increased significantly in all the groups, but significantly more in the heavy and the blended group. So the two groups that lifted heavy, they had much more creatine kinase and lactate dehydrogenase. So what that means is if you train with light loads and higher volumes, you may be able to shorten your recovery time and accumulate more total work. So that's the main implication of this study, but it is a preliminary study. It was a relatively small sample size. There were only 18 weightlifters, but you know, it's hard to do studies with elite weightlifters because there's not very many of them. So even a sample size of 18 weightlifters and 6 weightlifters in each group is pretty significant. Okay. Other limitations, volume load. So there was no specification that the total work was matched between groups. I suspect typically in short-term studies like this, the group that does more work, whether it's a hypertrophy study or a conditioning study, the group that does more work tends to get bigger adaptations because the dose is bigger. So whether those doses are sustainable over long periods of time is where longitudinal studies come in and where clinical experience comes in. But in short-term studies, the group that does more work tends to adapt more. So there was no specification that the total work was matched. And I'm assuming that it was because the adaptations were so similar. But that is something that I would ask the researchers if they match the volume load between the two programs. Length. So I mentioned this just now, but the study was only 8 weeks long. And so weightlifters have been training heavy 80% plus loads for decades, and this was an 8-week study. So again, it is preliminary and more research is needed. 1RM snatch did not significantly increase over the 8 weeks in any of the groups. So even though there was significant increases in back squat 1RM and muscle mass, the snatch did not increase significantly in any of the groups. Okay, what do I make of this? So my interpretation is themes across disciplines are controlling your intensity, dosing your intensity such that the exposure is successful. This is a concept that I use with my clients a lot. You don't want to just bathe yourself in intensity and be scared of approaching that intensity the next time. You want successful exposures to intensity, meaning if you're maintaining your composure in your training, that's a good indicator that you got a successful exposure to that pace or to that load. Maximal intensity, whether it's resistance or endurance, may be able to be summoned for a moment if the incentives are right. So this is the classic mother lifting a car off of a baby anecdote. Regardless of the specificity of preparation, athletes summon great performances and really intense exposures regardless of preparation. And another example of this is at the CrossFit Games, where we have athletes max out on the 13th event of the weekend on a Saturday night, and they're hitting all-time PRs because the arousal is perfect, the incentives are perfect, and the environment is perfect. We may think of intensity as having a finite number of times that it can be summoned, and that number of times may be more finite than we think. So when they run max out every day studies, or you know, patterning after the classic Bulgarian style of training that was popularized by their national team, there was also lots of PED use going on among that team and lots of injuries among that cohort of athletes that participated in that style of training. And similarly, when they run that similar style of training in short-term studies, they get incredible adaptations to 1RM. The training is really, really specific, but it seems that in the long term, especially without the assistance of PEDs, that frequency of intensity is not sustainable and therefore not optimal for the long-term development outcomes of athletes in strength and power sports. So we may think of intensity as having a finite number of times that it can be summoned. Total work may be the best predictor of adaptation. So when we compare adaptations to intense training to less intense training, the adaptations are more and more so appearing to be very similar. However, if energy expenditure is equated and if volume load is equated, those are necessary conditions for that similarity. So in these short-term studies, like I said before, the groups that are doing more total work, whether that's measured in energy expenditure if it's a conditioning study, or volume load if it's a strength study, the group that does more work adapts more. So the name of the game, or a good frame for thinking about long-term athlete development, is the most amount of work that you can accumulate over a career. So that's the length of time that we want to be thinking about periodizing for when it comes to the number of times we dose intensity and the total energy expenditure and the total volume load if we're talking about strength and power. So I suspect there are adaptations to intense resistance training that you don't get with low intensity. High volume resistance training, this would be similar to how with high intensity conditioning you get anaerobic adaptations on top of aerobic adaptations, whereas with low intensity training the adaptations are primarily aerobic. So there is a time and a place for intensity. We just want to be thinking about periodizing it and dosing it such that the exposure is successful and the exposure is timely and is giving the athlete confidence going into the moment that they need to summon that intensity. And finally, training more but with less intensity is an interesting subject of further exploration. So this is my framework that I'm using, doing more easy training and doing less intensity or less frequent intensity is a really promising framework for long-term athlete development outcomes. So we want to contrast the perspectives of short-term studies, 4, 8, 12-week studies, even if they are with elite athletes, because the athletes that do more work, whether it's energy expenditure in a conditioning study or volume load in a strength study, the group that does more work wins, meaning they adapt more. More muscle mass changes, greater changes in 1RM. But when we zoom out and we think about the career, we want to apply that same principle of doing more training over a career, and that requires periodization, that requires dosing the intensity, and that requires doing a lot of easy training. So this is a well-established construct in the endurance community where athletes self-organize into an 80-20 low intensity to higher intensity training intensity distribution, and it is much less explored on the strength side of things, but this preliminary study with elite athletes is really interesting. Okay, guys, that is it for today. If you're listening to the podcast, please rate it. And if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And I will see you in the next episode.